Welcome back. 3:49, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And joining me now is Ben Wolfgang, Washington Times national reporter. You may recall last week Ben and Drew Geraci, who had put together a magnificent story and video of the 70th anniversary of the Doolittle Tokyo Raid. This was the 80 fearless men taking to the sky to deliver the first blow to Japan after the attack on Pearl Harbor. We sat down and we talked about it. These guys put together a fantastic package. And then Ben and Drew went back to Ohio to celebrate the anniversary, which was yesterday, right, Ben?
That's right. Anniversary celebrations kicked off yesterday, and it's going to run right up through Friday here in Dayton, Ohio.
All right. Now, did the five survivors show up?
Four of the five did. One of the survivors, Robert Height, is in fairly poor health, so he was unable to make it. But four of them did show up, Ed Saylor, David Thatcher, Richard Cole, and Tom Griffin showed up, and I'll tell you what, they were treated to a rock star welcome
when
they got there. I mean, the applause they got and the roar of the crowd and sort of the adoring fans, people of all ages, it was really something spectacular to see.
Yeah, a lot of people show up?
A lot of people, yeah. I think they estimated probably close to about 2,000 yesterday for some of the events.
No, that's cool. And they had a big flyover, I understand.
They had a magnificent flyover. They had B-25 bombers, which, of course, are the planes they used in the Doolittle Raid 70 years ago, 20 of them from all over the country. And these are private individuals that basically did this on their own dime, that have B-25s and came in from all over the country. And they took off yesterday from the airfields of Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, where the reunion is being held. And they flew over a very touching memorial service. And it really was a pretty touching tribute, really, to these brave men.
Yeah. Any of them speak?
Absolutely. Richard Cole gave just a brief 2 or 3 minute address, and it's amazing to hear the level of detail and how vividly he still remembers everything about that day. And it's the same holds true for all of them, I think. When you go through something like that, a historic mission, it seems like it must be ingrained in their memories for the rest of their lives. And certainly the speech that he gave, he made very clear to the crowd that, you know, when they volunteered, signed up to do this, they had no idea that 70 years later, you and I are going to be talking about it, and they're going to be getting the acclaim and the rock star welcome that they're getting here in Dayton, Ohio. They just thought it was another mission, another job they had to do as members of the military. But really, they've become heroes and sort of legends of World War II.
Yeah, now, so yesterday you're at the National Air Force Museum at Wright-Patterson, which means there's a lot of military there in the form of young cadets. Did you get a chance to talk to any of those guys?
I did get a chance, and that was one of the fascinating things about being here is look and seeing some of those younger cadets. And there's a lot of folks from the Air Force, a lot of soldiers from the Army here as well, and to see them sitting down and talking to the Doolittle Raiders is really amazing. And then when you ask them what the Doolittle Raid, you know, means to them in terms of, you know, inspiration and the legacy they left for the military men and women that came after them, and it really seems like it personifies for them everything that they want to be, everything that they envisioned when they signed up to join the military. These 80 men and the bravery they showed, it really doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah. Tell us the cognac story.
The cognac story. In 1946, Jimmy Doolittle, who, of course, led the mission 70 years ago, he bought a bottle of Hennessy cognac for the Raiders, and 80 goblets as well, one representing each of the men. And the way it's supposed to work is when there are two Raiders, the last two Raiders still alive, whenever that happens, they'll be the first to open that bottle of cognac and use their final two goblets to toast the 78 men that came before them. So it's really kind of a touching story, and Hennessy has absolutely latched on to it as well. They've sponsored a lot of the events here. You know, they have advertisements they've taken out all over the place toasting to the Doolittle Raiders. So it's kind of a touching story, and each year the Doolittle Raiders conduct a ceremony in private, just them, where they take the goblets representing anyone who's passed away over the past year, and they take that goblet and turn it upside down. So right now you have 75 goblets turned upside down. There's only five left. So I think that bottle of cognac could get open here sometime pretty soon.
Yeah. Now, that's not the original bottle of cognac, if I understand the story correctly.
That's right. The original bottle of cognac, if I understand correctly, was actually smashed, and they had to replace it with the same bottle, but obviously from a later year.
Mm-hmm. One other note, a very interesting story about one of the Raiders' daughters who was at the event. She never knew about her father's mission until she was much older?
It's unbelievable to talk to friends and family of these men. And you're right, David Thatcher's daughter had the opportunity to talk to her for a little bit yesterday. And it kind of blew my mind because she said she didn't learn of, you know, exactly what he had done and all the details of his involvement with the raid until about 15 years ago. And she heard it when he was giving a speech at a World War II memorial dedication back in Mr. Thatcher's home state of Montana. She said, you know, living with her father growing up all those years, he just never talked about it. And so it's kind of amazing. I think in their later years, they're starting to open up a little bit more, and they're more willing to talk about this. But it kind of captures the way they looked at that mission. They didn't think that they were any more special or any more qualified than the other men that served in World War II and served in all the wars after that. They looked at it as another mission, another job, but certainly for members of the family to have to learn about the details of what her father had done, you know, at a public speech, it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, something very special about that generation that surrounded World War II. I've noticed that over the years in talking to people who were a part of it. Listen, great job on this story as well as the first story, and I know that people can still go to WashingtonTimes.com, check out the video. This story is a magnificent part of American history, and if you have a child, if you have someone, you know, whether it you know, is middle school, high school, they really need to see what this was all about. This is very, very important, and you did a great job, Ben. Great to have you on the air again today.
Oh, thanks a lot, Andy. I appreciate it.
All right, you take care. Ben Wolfgang, Washington Times national reporter. In today's paper, Doolittle Raiders lift spirits sky high at commemoration. And again, if you have the opportunity to check out the video, it's still up at WashingtonTimes.com. 3:56, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.